Chapter 10. Adamantua. Adamantua was a gravity-churned mess, a mass grave that had suffered tectonic upheaval, an aftermath of fresh earth and rotting bodies. It was fascinating. Artisan trajectory Argus von Auken was standing in a craterous hollow, swarming with Mechanicus menials and seismats taking readings and feeding the data back to the survey brig Subservius, which held position in low orbit above the expedition. Magi Astrophysicus bombarded the ruined structure of the Adamantuan crust with magnasonic arrays and powerful pulse scanners, the dishes and receivers of which were directed down into the ground. As soon as the distress calls from the surface had faded and the colossal Xenos attack moon disappeared, which had happened as swiftly as the abomination had arrived, the Subservius had returned. Argus von Auken had come back at the head of a small army of data-ravenous priests and adepts, all intent on understanding the mechanics of the catastrophe. They busied themselves with experimentation and observation, all the while trampling Xenos corpses, both common chromes and Veridi giganticus, and the shredded remains of Mechanica support staff and the shattered yellow plate of fallen Imperial fists into the disturbed earth. Only knowledge mattered. The Xenos cadavers were fearfully imposing, even in death. The Honorable Adeptus Astartes, torn to pieces in the enemy deluge, deserved better. Argus von Auken was incapable of such distractions, however. His work benefited from a lack of such sentimentality. Some might describe it as a disability, others a superhuman ability. It had been von Auken's cold logic that had held the Subservius on station, pursuing its observation protocols when lesser adepts, like Magos biologist Eldon Urquidex, had urged the artisan to return and interfere with unfolding events. Perhaps it had been Urquidex's devotion to the science of the living that had burdened the priest with such weakness. Urquidex had watched the data streams of doom return from the planet's surface. He saw an Adeptus Astartes chapter on the brink of annihilation. He saw the physical perfection of the human form and a rich genetic history of conquest and supremacy on the cusp of extinction. He gave in to his baser, organic impulses and requested of von Auken a last-minute retrieval. The request was denied, and as the expedition's second-ranking priest, Urquidex received a citation for modus unbecoming from the first. Von Auken reminded his colleague of the third law of universal variance, the bystander paradox. Urquidex had replied that they called it a paradox for a reason. The alien beast had unleashed its savage supremacy on Adamantua and on all those upon its surface. None had survived. Only the data, pure and true, remained. It was von Auken's responsibility to see that the information found its way back to Mars, where it might aid the Fabricator General in his service of the Machine God's will. Striding through Auspex mechanics and oscillimats that were monitoring the structural damage to the planetary depths, von Auken ascended the hollow's slopes to find that Urquidex's survey crews had planted electrostatic rods in the mulched earth. About the artisan Primus, fields of static electricity had raised the dead. Hulking greenskin corpses were drifting a few feet above the ground on the crackling field, making examination of the bolt-ravaged specimens easier for the Magos biologist and his genitor tech adepts. The beast's work on Adamantua had been so absolute in its ferocity that there were no other remains to examine. The Space Marines and accompanying Adeptus Mechanicus personnel of the Adamantuan Purge had been hacked and blasted to pieces. The monsters had been possessed of a bottomless ferocity that seemed to infect the creatures even down to their diminutive slave and vermin forms. Knocking the monstrous bodies into a telekinetic tumble, von Auken's spindly form passed through the levitated carnage. But for the electromagnetic dampeners built into his torso, the artisan also would have floated effortlessly across the tormented earth. Skitari from the Epsil 18 Calatorax stood sentinel among the sea of bodies, with their galvanic rifles cradled in bionic limbs. They had been assigned as expedition security and for use as execution squads, putting down monstrosities that had not quite bled their formidable life away on the battlefield. Alpha Primus Orozco saw the approaching Artisan Primus and marched to meet him.
"With me, Magister, if you please,"
Van Auken requested. The officer said nothing. Orozco wasn't much of a communicator, favouring binary for orders and transmissions. He simply fell in line behind the ranking priest.
"Magos,"
Van Auken said as he entered the Foyle laboratory pavilion. Neither Eldon Urquidex nor his surgeons and samplers looked up from the gargantuan carcass of the orc they were dissecting on the static field. Slabs of flesh and labelled alien organs floated about them.
"Magos,"
the artisan primus repeated.
"My teams have all but completed the documentation of the damage inflicted by the alien weapon."
"And?" the battle-bodied Urquidex said, not taking his telescopic eyes off the brain of the beast he was carving up with a digit-mounted las scalpel.
"The enemy's mastery of gravity manipulation and teleportational vectors is considerable,"
Van Auken said, his understatement devoid of wit or passion. The priest paused. His colleague had a habit of soliciting information when he should be delivering it.
"The gravitational aftershocks began to subside after the weapon removed itself from the system. Its disruptive influence endures, however, fading incrementally. It will be some time before gravitoplanetary equilibrium is fully restored to this world."
"Fascinating."
"It is like nothing the machine god's servants have documented before. It is a weapon the mere presence of which is a force of ultimate destruction. A blade that cuts without being drawn from its sheath. A bolt that blasts without leaving the barrel. If we are to achieve similar masteries, we must understand how the alien accomplishes such wonders. Scrutiny of the workings of their technology alone only reveals that it should not work at all. This is an unacceptable conclusion for our data packet."
"Indeed," Urquidex agreed.
"The Fabricator General demands better of us,"
the artisan said. "Always," the Magos replied, absently.
"Magos," Van Auken insisted, "I must have your hypotheses."
Urquidex looked up from the alien brain, his telescopic eyes retracting and refocusing.
"Why rush such important research?" the Magos said with a withering gaze.
"There is a time for everything," Van Auken said, "and for everything a time."
"Has this time been allocated for wastage?" Urquidex asked, "since it seems to be achieving little else."
"The subservius has been ordered on," Van Auken insisted. "We are to rendezvous with several Signum stations before moving corwards to establish observations above Macromunda."
"To watch another unwarned world offered up before the alien for slaughter?"
Urquidex said.
"You must learn to govern your sentimentality," Van Auken instructed. "Macromunda is no less a sacrifice than those genelings you experiment on in your laboratorium. These worlds would die anyway. We watched them die so that Mars might live. Now enough of this. What observations can you add to the data packet? What is the secret of the Xenos technology?"
Urquidex gave his superior the narrowing lenses of his telescopic eyes. Retracting the digit scalpel into the toolage of his bionic hand, the Magos produced a pencil beam from his cranial arrangement, the red dot of which hovered across the artisan trajectory's narrow forehead. Urquidex turned back to the Xenos brain he had been working on.
"This structure here,"
Urquidex said, indicating a bulbous feature at the brainstem that appeared like a bloom of fungus erupting from the base of a tree,
"governs the problem-solving faculties of the species. At least, that is my theory."
"Like you, I am a priest of Mars," Van Auken reassured him. "This is a Xenos abomination. There are no certainties, only theories to be tested. Proceed, Magos."
"In many alien spacefaring species, as well as our own," Urquidex told him, "such structures, dealing with inspiration, experimentation, and technological development, occur in the frontal lobes."
Urquidex passed the dot across a comparatively redundant part of the creature's brain.
"Or the Xenos equivalent thereof. In a race who have taken that crucial and technologically demanding step into a larger universe, you would expect this to be an area of recent evolutionary development."
"Agreed."
"Not so in Viridae Giganticus," the Magos biologist said. It occurs in one of the most primitive parts of the organ.
But what does that mean? Van Auken asked.
It means that their technological mastery, being what it is, proceeds not from evolutionary, intellectual development, as it has in humans and many other races. It has been a feature of their race from very early in their existence. An accelerated development, Van Auken hoped so. Acceleration could be modelled. Acceleration could be predicted.
No, Oquidex told him. Something primordial. A capability innate within their species. Their mastery of technology, including the gravitational and vector capabilities that you would wish to reproduce, is a natural ability, not a product of some form of developed, higher-order conception.
These conclusions will not please the Fabricator General, Van Auken said.
It is only a theory, Oquidex said. Other priests at other conquest sites may reach other conclusions.
Have you learned anything else? Van Auken asked. Oquidex turned and snapped on a hololithic projector that enveloped the monstrous brain in a fluxing field representation. What is that? The artisan asked.
Honestly, the Major said, I don't know. I happened upon the frequency by accident. This is the barest manifestation of it, I can tell you that. It has been fading since biological cessation.
If you had to make an informed guess, Major?
Some kind of field or emanation? Oquidex said. It seems to be coming from deep within the brain structure. Again, an evolutionarily ancient feature.
Could it be psionic in nature? Van Auken asked cautiously.
Unknown, Oquidex said with equal reservation. Not my area of specialization. However, watch this.
Oquidex directed a pair of servitors into the foil tent. Between them, they carried an alien weapon, some kind of barbaric chopping implement, sporting a chain of revolving teeth, like a chainsword. A brute motor was built into its ungainly shaft, the handle of which was scored with primitive glyphs and graffiti. The Magos directed the drones to slip the savage weapon into the beast's death-stiffened grip and lay the great shaft of the weapon and its murderous headpiece across the greenskin's open and organ-excavated chest.
What are you doing?
Van Auken asked, as Oquidex directed a servomat to attach power couplings to the weapon's monstrous motor.
Magos?
Clear,
Oquidex said, before instructing the servomat to supply power to the weapon from its own core. The serrated chain of the chopper roared to life, the clunky machinery of its motor squealing and crunching, the gore of the Emperor's angels spraying Van Auken from the monstrous weapon's thrashing teeth. The artisan stepped back and wiped the speckles of old blood from his face.
Turn it off, he commanded.
As you wish, Oquidex said, selecting an autopsy cleaver with a monomolecular edge from a rack of similarly macabre tools.
Swinging the cleaver down with force, the Magos chopped at the hulking wrist of the greenskin. It took a number of strikes, with the cleaver blade biting through flesh and bone. With a final strike, the claw hand was separated from the meat of the arm, and the weapon chugged, bucked, and died. Van Auken stepped back towards the creature with fresh interest.
It still has power.
The problem isn't power, Oquidex assured the artisan Primus. The weapon has suffered a malfunction, which isn't surprising, given the poor quality of its construction and maintenance. I fear that this field, swiftly depleting and dissipating after death, in some way aids the crude workings of such creations.
But what if technology is not in direct contact with the Xenos?
Unknown. The weapon was a simple demonstration with a cadaver specimen, Oquidex said. I have not observed the field's properties in a living organism. I don't know for sure that the field is responsible.
If it was, could the field be replicated?
Unknown. Not my specialization.
Artisan Van Auken took a moment to process this new data.
These are important findings, Van Auken said. They must reach Mars without delay.
Oquidex watched the artisan process more than just the findings. Van Auken, who scorned the display of emotions in his colleagues, had difficulty keeping pride in his expedition's work from his gaunt face. Greed followed as an afterthought. Greed for power, recognition, and influence.
It was his name and designation as Artisan Primus that would accompany the data packet to Mars. He, who would be recalled to serve in the sacred ranks of the Fabricator General's Diagnostiad.
There is something else, Erquidex said, shaking Van Auken from his machinations.
Proceed, the Artisan Trajectory encouraged, eager for more revelations.
I have gene-typed the creature and a sample of its kind, the Magos biologist said, and cross-referenced our findings with the data vaults aboard the Subservius.
And what did you discover? Van Auken urged.
They all have the same origin, genetically speaking, Erquidex said. With some more work, we should be able to narrow it down to a particular area of the galaxy. Perhaps even a single world.
A burst of binary cant from Alpha Primus Orozco interrupted the pair of priests. An alpha of the Epsil 18 Collatorax had reported to the Primus.
Erquidex and Van Auken turned, and Orozco prompted the subordinate to report.
Artisan Primus, the Tribunus said, the Auguromats have discovered life signs and designation signatures in Quadrant 4. They're weak but verified and coming from beneath the ground.
Survivors? Eldon Erquidex dared to hope.
Witnesses, Van Auken corrected him, to the end of a world. Take us to them. The Alpha led his commander and the two priests through the floating carnage about the Magos' field of electrostatic rods. Beyond the static, the sampling crews and the Skitari standing sentinel, the Alpha took them to a small excavation. A cordon of gathered collatorax, augurmats, and a servitor dig team parted to admit the Artisan Primus, and a Medicae servitor looked up from its work at the tech priest's arrival. A pair of stretcher-bearing servitors carried the remains of an ashen priest from the excavation site. He was clad in the robes of the Mechanicus, besmirched with adamantuan earth, but had suffered the horrific injuries of battle. His legs were missing, hacked away by some brute weapon of war. Lengths of intestine and the tech priest's inner workings spilled from the mess of his abdomen stump.
Halt, the Magos said, bringing the servitors to a stop. Status?
Compromised, the Medicae servitor told him in monotone. Critical. Demonstrated no life signs or data feeds. Invasive interventions, stabilized core and cogitae. Organic systems either dead or dying. Survival, unlikely. What blood and oil remained in the priest's body was leaking out onto the stretcher. His augmented biology was still partially functioning, although he was technically not alive and in machine system shock. His hands reached out for things that were not there, and nonsense fell from his lips like a stream of dribble.
You know this priest? Van Auken asked.
Yes, Erquidex informed him. The Omnisire favoured him with my specialism. His name is Laurentis, Phaeton Laurentis. He was assigned to the original expedition.
Laurentis?
He did some good work in isolation while attached to the Imperial Fists. He gathered some valuable data, made some useful observations.
His observations were not so useful to the Fabricator General, Van Auken said, when he transmitted them to Terra.
Like many of our calling, Erquidex said, Phaeton Laurentis was not taken into the Fabricator General's confidence regarding the alien invader. He knew no more than the guard officers and Adeptus Astartes besieged with him. We can hardly blame him for serving the cohort to which he had been assigned. And like I said, some of his work was very good, bearing in mind what little he had to work with.
Van Auken was unconvinced.
Take him to my shuttle, the Artisan commanded the servitors. He will repair to the ship for censure and redesignation of service.
Scrubbing him seems a waste, Erquidex offered. He might have more information than was transmitted.
Van Auken considered the idea.
Gathered between transmission and defeat.
It is undeniably true that such information would be useful, Van Auken admitted. Inform the Magi Physic and Artisan Cybernetica that this priest is to be stabilized and readied for downstreaming and debriefing, he told the servitors before sending them off to his shuttle.
Van Auken turned, but Erquidex had already started the descent down into the excavated pit. There they found an infermechanic standing among three waxy cocoons, taking readings.
humanoid in shape, the large cocoons appeared like the mummified ancients of some archaeological find. Instead of being wrapped in cloth, the three figures had secreted a kind of mucus-like residue that formed a thin protective layer about their bodies. Through the membranous surface, the two priests could see the horror of mangled bodies, butchered torsos, missing limbs, and scraps of ceramite plate. A yellow pauldron was visible through the stretched surface of one cocoon. The markings were clear, even through the membrane. A black gauntlet clutched into a defiant fist.
"They must have been buried in the gravitic upheaval," the artisan trajectory said. "With the priest. Magos?"
"Aye,"
Erquidex agreed, his telescopic eyes whirring in for a closer look.
"These are Adeptus Astartes' genetic adaptations, a form of suspended animation allowing them to survive all but the most mortal of wounds. The coating is an extreme form of protective secretion, airtight and temperature resistant. It is a wonder of genetic engineering."
The Magos biologist examined the infomechanics readings.
"Will they survive?" Van Auken asked him.
"Possibly."
"Fascinating."
"Their wounds are grievous and their life signs are practically non-existent."
"Like the priest, they have first-hand knowledge of the enemy's tactical capabilities," the artisan Primus said. "You said it yourself. Better data than could be gathered by 1,000 butchered drones."
"Agreed," Erquidex said. "But I want you to know that if we break their suspension and revive them, we might not be able to save them from their injuries."
"Their testimony is too important," Van Auken said. "It is required for the data packet."
"The Adeptus Astartes, a successor chapter, would have the specialist knowledge to..."
"We don't answer to the Adeptus Astartes," Van Auken said. "We answer to the Fabricator General."
"These might be all that is left of the Imperial Fists."
"Have them transported with a priest to the laboratorium aboard the Subservius," Van Auken ordered. "Begin suspension interruption there."
"You will take responsibility?"
"I will."